Okay. So today's daf is Shabbos, daf Kuf Nun Dalet. So the Mishnah begins by, begins by saying, Rav Zvid Masnihachi. Rav Zvid learns the opinion of Rami Bar Chama like this. Remember, we saw that Rami Bar Chama seemed to say that if your animal does malacha for you, so then if it's unintentional, then it's your chayav a korban chatas, and if it's intentional, then you are chayav skila. You can be subject to the death penalty. So on this, the Gemara says, if you do this, if you lead, you put a burden on your animal to do malacha on Shabbos, if you do it unintentionally, he's not chayav chatas. So Rav Zvid had a different understanding of Rami Bar Chama, because we saw that we learned from Avodah Zarah that if someone worships Avodah Zarah b'shogeg unintentionally, you're chayav, you have to bring a korban chatas, and we learn all other cases of obligation for korban chatas from Avodah Zarah. And since for Avodah Zarah to be chayav a korban chatas, you have to do it with your body and not simply allow someone else to do something. So therefore, you never chayav a korban chatas unless you do it with your body. So here, the animal is not, the animal's doing it, you're not doing it, so therefore you're not chayav a korban chatas. However, b'mezid chayav skila. But if you do it intentionally, you still are chayav, you still are chayav misas basin. So it's a very interesting split. That again, if you put a burden on your animal does work for you on Shabbos, intentionally you could be subject to the death penalty, but unintentionally you're not subject to any penalty at all. Meisiv Rava. So Rava asks on this, on Rav Zvid's understanding of Rami Bar Chama, Hamachalas the Shabbos Devar Shechayim Mal Shigas Ochatas Chayim Mal Zdono Skila Ha Ein Chayim Mal Shigas Ochatas Ein Chayim Mal Zdono Skila. Rava says that can't be correct, because the Mishnah Sanhedrin tells us that if you are Machalel Shabbos, you violate the Shabbos with something that if you would violate unintentionally, you'd be chayav a korban chatas. If you do it intentionally, you would be chayav, you'd be stoned to death. You would be chayav the death penalty. And one can infer from this Mishnah that the only time that you are chayav a skila, b'mezid, if he's under b'mezid, is if you would be chayav a korban if you did it b'shogeg. So if you're not chayav on ha'ein chayav imal shigasu chatas, if you're not chayav a korban chatas, if you sin unintentionally, then ein chayav imal zdonu skila, you would not be chayav skila if you do it intentionally. The Gemara says mikatani ha'ein chayavim. Yeah, but why are you making that inference? Who says you're not chayav? Hachi korban. No, this is what the Mishnah means to say. Yeah. If you're chayav chatas on something unintentional, you're definitely chayav skila if you do it intentionally. However, but the reverse isn't true. There is something that you're not chayav chatas if you do it unintentionally, but you are chayav skila if you do it intentionally. What is that? The malacha of, or the activity of mechamer, of causing your animal to do work. So Rava tries to reject that, and by Mishnah, and we say it's not such a rejection. Rava Achud, the Rav Mary Bar Rachel, of Amri La, Avud Rav Mary Bar Rachel. So the Gemara says that, here's another opinion, about, the Gemara first says, before we say his opinion, we're just saying that Rava was the brother of Rav Mary Bar Rachel, and some say he was the father of Rav Mary Bar Rachel. Now, Lelishna Basra, Kasha Ha De Rav Achshere Le Rav Mary Bar Rachel. If you say that Rava was the father of Rav Mary, it's a question: how could Rav was machshir? He said that the opinion that he was machshir. I guess the Gemara Yavama says that he said good things, or he did good to Rav Mari Barachal Umanye Bepur Se Debavel, and he appointed him as the policeman on the Tzibor in Bavel, even though his father was a non-Jew. So what's clear is that his father was not a non-Jew. So how can you say, how can you say that Rava was his father if the Gemara in Yevamos seems to indicate that the father of Rav Mari Bar Rachel was a non-Jew? So that's the question. So the Gemara answers, Dilma Trey Mari Bar Rachel Havu. Maybe there were two Mari Bar Rachels. One of them was the son of Rava, and the other one was the son of a non-Jew. And the Gemara in Yevamos were talking about the one who was the son of a non-Jew, and not our situation here. Okay.
How does that answer it? Why, if he was Rava's son, why would we call him Bar Rachel? Why would he use the name Bar Rachel if he didn't have to?
It's a good question. Yeah. It's a good question. I'm not sure. You know, it makes more sense that it's the brother because it's the Rav Mari Bar Rachel. It should have said Rav Mari Bar Rava, unless you would have to say that somehow there's something special about the mother. But you're right; it's not standard. That's why it makes more sense. Usually, when they write the mother's name, it's because something negative about the father, not usually something special about the mother. It's a good question. Not sure. Okay, so the Gemara says that Havamasne lo lahashmaite mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan. So back to our topic. So Rava would learn this teaching, or he would teach this teaching in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, liftur, as an exemption. Amar Rabbi Yochanan mechamar achar behemto b'shabes patur miklum. That he says, if you lead, you put a burden on your animal to carry on Shabbos, you escape liability from anything. You don't if you do it unintentionally, you're not chayav a korban chatas, because we learn the liability of korban chatas from avodah zarah. That for avodah zarah, it's only when you do an action with your body. So this is also only when you do it with your body. And also, if you do it intentionally, you would not be chayav dinan. Hamachal se shabbos devar shechayim al shigasu chatas val zdono skila ha'ein chayav al shigasu chatas ein chayav al zdono skila. So Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that you can only be chayav skila if you do for doing something intentionally. If you would be chayav a korban chatas if you did it unintentionally. The Rava continues now in the name of Yochanan, Balav Nami Lo Mechayev. You're also not subject to Malkus. Why? De Havele Lav Shiniten Lazharis Mrs. Basin, Cholav Shiniten Lazharis Mrs. Basin, ain't Lokin Alav. So he says the following, that when the Torah says, Lo Tasa Komalacha, Tavin Chavitecha, Abdecha, Vamascha, Vamtecha. So why don't we say, whenever the Torah says, Lo, don't do something. So what's the punishment? The punishment is Malkus. So why don't we say here, at least, fine, you don't get a death penalty. Fine, you don't bring in Korban Chatas. But maybe you should get Malkus. So the answer is, you don't necessarily get Malkus. You get Malkus when the Torah says Lo Alpen or Hishamer, uses one of these terms in the Torah, unless there's an exception. What's the exception here? There's a Lav Shenitin Lazharis Mises Beistin. So when it says Lo, but when the lav is used as a warning, because the Gemara says ein onchim ela im kein mazhirin, the only time that the Torah will punish you, will give you a punishment of, let's say, misa, or even kares, is only when the Torah also has another pasuk to tell you don't do it. In other words, the Torah will never tell you if you do this you are put to death, unless the Torah also says somewhere else, don't do this. So the lo here is used not as a punishment, but as a warning to tell you, don't do this, because if you do it, you'll be put to death. Now again, the Torah says the lo, when it comes to, it says, don't do this, you and your animal. So obviously, it serves as a warning that if you do it, you're put to death, not if your animal does it. But nevertheless, this lav is used for that purpose, and therefore you don't get malchus. The Gemara at the top of Kufnat Nundalman base states, the afil amanda amar lokin, and even according to Rabbi Shmuel, this is the debate between Rabbi Shmuel and I believe it's Rabbi Akiva. I'm not 100% sure. So the Rabbi Shmuel says that that you do get malchus on a lav shenita lazharz misas beistin. Nevertheless, here you don't get malchus. Why? Lichtov rachmana lo tasa kol malacha uvehem techa atalam ali. What if you want to say you get malchus? It should have said lo tasa kol malacha uvehem techa. Why does it say lo tasa kol malacha ata uvin chavitecha avdecha v'amas? What's the ata? Who niu demechayev behem to lo mechayev? When it says lo tasa kol malacha ata, meaning the only one who would get who it's a complete lav, for which you would get malchus for, would be is if ata, if you do it, but not if your animal doesn't. Okay. Now the Mishnah said higia lechatzar hachitzona. So let's say you're carrying your wall with you. I'm sorry, you reach the outer gate, right? Let me just go back to the Mishnah for one second. So the Mishnah said, right, that you have your wallet with you and you put it on the donkey. And the donkey is riding, and the donkey is going, and you reach the outer gate, the outer courtyard of your house. So we said that you can actually take with your hands any item that's not muksa, but any item that is muksa, you just sort of untie the rope so that the items fall to the ground and you don't touch them directly because they're muksa. So Amar Rav Huna, Haisa behemto tuna kleis chukas. Yeah, but what if your animal was you loaded him up with glass utensils, and obviously that's going to break if you just let it fall. So maybe kar muksasas minech tachteha umater chavolim basakim nofim. So you first put cushions or pillows under the area where the glasses will fall, so that when you untie and the glasses fall, so then they won't break. All right, but wait, does the Mishnah say that you can actually take the kelim themselves? So and glasses, they're not muksa. Kikama rafuna bekarne de umna de lo chaz yalei. So we're talking about, I guess, some kind of glass horns that were used for bloodletting, some instrument that they're not fit to be used on Shabbos at all. So we're talking about something made of glass that's muksa. Maybe it's muksa machmas kisar and kis, but there's no function for it on Shabbos, and therefore you put pillows and cushions so that when it will fall to the ground and not break. V'ha kamavata klei mehechano. Yeah, but how can you put pillows and cushions so that the glass will fall on them? Because you are being mevatel the kli, these pillows and cushions, from being used. Because why? What's going to happen now? Once you put the pillows and cushions underneath, you know, on the ground, and the glass falls on it, so then the pillows and the cushions become a support for the muksa item. They become a basis ledavar ha'aser, and you can't move them. So what have you done? You have eliminated these cushions from having the status of being kalim on Shabbos, and that's the problem that we don't allow you to do on Shabbos. So the Gemara answer is bishlife zutre. We're talking about small burdens, small bundles, that after they fall on the cushions and the pillows, you can remove. Let me say that again. I'm incorrect. The reason why you're mevatel the kli mehechano, the assumption here is, is that simply they're going to have to be there for the rest of Shabbos, and they have to be there for the rest of Shabbos, and therefore you can't use them for anything else, and therefore you mevatel the kli from its use on Shabbos, and that you can't do. And the Gemara says, no, it's talking about it's a small bundle, and then after they fall on the pillows and the cushions, you can then remove the cushions from under them, and then they until they hit the ground, and therefore, I think what's the whole point? I think that you remove it after they fall on it, and then you can move the cushions and the pillows, and then they won't break. You know, when they're on the cushion on the ground, when they're on the pillows, and the pillows are on the ground, and then you move the pillows, they're not going to break. And the reason why, by the way, as soon as the muksa item hits the pillows, the reason why the pillows don't become muksa because of bas yisla davar aser is because we only apply the principle of bas yisla davar aser when the muksa item was on it b'bein hashmashos at the onset of Shabbos. So let's say when you light your candles, right? For your candlestick. So there, the candlesticks become a bas yisla davar aser, maybe the tray also, because at the onset of Shabbos in Bein HaShmashos, so then it becomes a basis. So at that point, the item becomes basis to the Davar Aser for the whole Shabbos. But here, it didn't become a basis on Bein HaShmashos, so therefore, it doesn't take on a status of Muksa. Now the Gemara is going to ask him, Afuna from the Braisa, Meisve. Let's say that your animal was loaded up with untied produce and I guess thick bundles of glass. Matir sachavolim, you untie the ropes. Vasakim noflim, and the sacks fall vavol bisha mishtavim. I mean, even though the glass breaks, you cannot remove them with your hands from the animal. So wow, so there it seems that what? That you can't put pillows and cushions underneath. And the Gemara says, the answer is no, hasam bechulsa. They were talking about thick pieces of glass that I guess used to make windows from them. So when you melt them, they will break them into small pieces. Oh, so you don't really care if they break. We're talking about a situation where you don't care if they break. The Gemara says, Dekanami, we can also infer from this, from the answer, Dekatani Dumya de Tevel, because we learned that it's similar to Tevel. Ma Tevel de Lochazi Le, just like Tevel is not fit for it. Afacha, also here, Nami Lochazi Le, it's also not fit for it. So we're talking about the ashashios are not fit for any use at all on Shabbos. We're talking about thick pieces, so we don't care if they break. V'umai af bisha mishtavim. So what's the chiddush? What new idea is the Gemara telling you by saying that, oh, even if they break? So obviously, if we don't care, what's the big deal? So ma'alatema lehefsimuk nami chashu kamashvelon. So you might have thought that since certainly when they break, there were certain... that when, you know, if the glass, thick glass pieces break, there will be some, I guess, small pieces that are not fit for anything that will break. So there's some small loss. We're not concerned with the small loss of the fact that, in other words, it will be a lot of regular glass pieces that will fall on the ground that most of them you can use. A small amount you can't use, we're not concerned about that. There's not enough of a loss.
Why would it be a small loss if we're saying it was like glass for windows? That's like sheets of glass. So once it breaks, it's useless.
Yeah, I don't think it's like our typical. Because I think what he's saying here is that you're going to. I think when you melt them, I think he's saying you're going to break them into small pieces anyway. I don't think they're very big windows.
I guess maybe you can use them again in, you know, in the glass process or something like that.
You can blow the glass and you can melt them so they're together. I think that's what you do here. Okay. So Tanya Rishon B'Yochai Omer, Ha'isa Behem Tel Tuna Shlif Shel Tvua, let's say your behema is loaded with some grain of tevel. So again, it's muksa because you can't have tevel on Shabbos. Miniach tap rosho tachteha musalkal etzad acher. So you can't move it, right? So what do? You place under one of the I guess right, you place the head of the animal under one of the sides of the burden, and you move its head to another side, and then the burden, then the load will fall off by itself. Chamosha on Gamliel haisa tuuna dvash. The donkey on Gamliel was loaded with honey. V'lo ratza leparka ad motzei Shabbos, and he didn't want to unload it from the donkey until motzei Shabbos. V'lo motzei Shabbos mesa, and because what happened was the animal died. So there's a value to removing it because of the animal. It's a big burden on the animal as well. So the Gemara says, "Vana tada notel kel mitali." So why that happened? Why didn't he unload the honey from the donkey? Why didn't he unload it? It says you can move anything that's fit for use on Shabbos. So the answer is kishe hidbish. We're talking about the honey got spoiled, so it wasn't fit for anything. So hidbish my chazi. So lechtite the gamli. So then why did he bring it to begin with? So he said you use the spoiled honey to put on the wounds of the camel. So viyatu chavam yuplusaki. So why didn't he just simply untie the rope so that the sacks would fall? So mitzru sike, the flask of honey would break when they would fall to the ground. Aviyavi karm ksas v'nichatehem. Why didn't you bring pills and cushions put under them? Metanfe, they would get dirty and they wouldn't be fit for any use. Other use on Shabbos would come mevatel kli mechano, and then in that point you'd be mevatel the kli from any other use on Shabbos. Vayika tzar balichayim. But tzar balichayim, you're causing the animal to suffer. That's an issur d'oraisa. So k'savar tzar balichayim midrabanan. So Rabbi Gamliel believed that tzar balichayim is only issur d'rabanan, and he felt that that did not override another rabbinic prohibition. Okay. So that's a major debate in Gemara Bava Metzia, whether it's the tzar balichayim is d'oraisa or d'rabanan. We pass on that it is actually d'oraisa. Abaye Ashkei Leila Rabba, the Kamishavshif Leili Bray Agava Dechamra. Abaye found Rabba that he was rubbing his son on a donkey on Shabbos in order to play with him. Amarle Kamishdamish Mar Balechayim. You're using a living being and a living creature, and you're not supposed to use a behemah on Shabbos. Amarle Tzadim Him, not using the animal itself, only the sides. But on the side, it's not a problem because that's not the way you use the animal. Minat Temra, where do you get this from? Didnan, could learn in Mishnah, Matei Chavalim Asakim Noflim. You untie the ropes and the sacks fall off. Maila Bechever Guvalki. Are we talking about two sacks that are placed on two sides of the donkey and they're tied together with straps? To have a luhut stadim, so at the time when you untie the ropes, that you need to bring them close to the donkey and to lean it, and then utstadim lo gozer rabbanon, and therefore they didn't, and that's why you can untie the animal because on the sides, and the rabbis didn't make a decree. Lo, bechever agluvki. We're talking about sacks that are not tied together, but they are. I guess they're held together with a small nail that you place by the metal ring on the top of the strap, and when you pull the strap a little bit, the nail goes out and the sacks fall. The lo habut stadim, so we're not talking about stadim here. Inami belechta, or maybe we're talking about where in the top of each sack there is a ring of rope, and you place the ring, you place one ring in the second ring, and you take a little piece of wood and you put it inside the inner ring, and therefore that's how the sacks are held. And when you unload it, you pull the wood and the sacks fall. So here also, you don't need to use the sides of the animal at all in order to cause the sacks to fall. So we don't have a proof one way or the other. Eisvei. So Rabbi asked Rava, Shtayim bidei adam ve'achas be'ilon, if two of the walls of the sukkah are made by man and one wall is made by a tree, you know, there's one wall is used as one wall is from a tree. Kasher the sukkah's kasher ve'en olim lo, but you can't go up on the tree. You can't go into the sukkah b'yom tov. You can't go into the sukkah yom tov, because they would use the schach to put stuff on it, and since the schach of the sukkah is tied to the walls, so when you're using the schach to put things on it, you are also using the tree. So the Gemara clarifies the question: my love, the chok bay ba'ilan. So aren't we talking about where you made a lot of indentation, you made holes in the tree, and you put reeds inside the tree, inside the hole, or tubes, or whatever, different reeds, and these reeds serve as a wall for the sukkah. The havalahut stadim, so this is stadim, and stadim asurim, and we see here that stadim are forbidden. So no, that's not the case here. The chapi le'ilan, that no, you actually turn the branches of the tree to the side of another tree, and you tied them with the branches of a second tree, and that's how they became a wall. And you put schach on top of them. They're actually using the tree itself, and you're not using studim. If so, if that's the case, the latter part of the Mishnah says that shalosh bidei adam. Let's say three of the walls are made by man. And one of the walls is made by a tree, kasherah, then the sukkah is kosher. V'olim lo b'yom tov, and you can go into the sukkah on yom tov. V'i dechap yeh le'ilon. And if we're talking about where you turned the branches of the tree and you made them into walls, so my olim lo b'yom tov, how can you go on into the sukkah on yom tov? Isn't the schach leading on a tree? In which case you are using the tree on Shabbos, which is forbidden. You can't use a tree on Shabbos. Ve'elamai, rather, what must you be talking about? Stadim asurim. So he's saying because the sides are forbidden. Sof. So even according to his opinion, though, it's a question. Am I olim lo b'yom tov? So how can you go into this sukkah on yom tov? Because you're using the stadim as well. In either case, Ella Hasan, rather, what do you have to say? What's the case? Bigvaza par sichna. The Mishnah here is talking about a tree with a lot of branches that sort of spread out to the sides. The ilan gufe dofen ba'alma hu deshavye. That you use the tree only for the wall, and you don't lean the schach on it. So the tree, the function of the tree is only for a wall, not for the schach. So therefore, the schach is not considered one of the sides of the. It's not considered like part of that tree, and you can use it on yom tov because it's just being supported by the three other walls. And therefore, the sefer is not like the reisha, because in the sefer we're talking about where you don't lean the schach on the fourth wall at all, and therefore you can go into the sukkah on yom tov. But the Reish is talking about the sukkah only has two walls that are made by man, and so therefore you have to say that you put the schach on the third wall, and so therefore it's made from the tree itself, and that's why you can't go into it on Yom Tov. Daikanami, we can infer this from the Mishnah. The Katani is that cloud. Kolin sheinat talilam viyachol alamod olin lo b'Yom Tov. Says in the Mishnah. Any tree that if you were to move the tree and the sukkah can stand by itself, then you can go into the sukkah on Yom Tov. However, if the sukkah would fall, then the schach would fall, so then you wouldn't be allowed to. But Shmamina, so what do we see from here? That we're talking about where you didn't put the schach on the tree. Because that's what we're talking about. The schach is not leading on the tree. Because otherwise, the sukkah wouldn't be able to stand by itself without the tree. So the Gemara wants to say, this question of whether you can use the sides of an animal or a tree is actually a machlokas tanoi. Lema kitanoi. Let's say this is like a machlokas tanoi. Ain olim lo b'yom tov. You can't go into a sukkah that is lying on a tree b'yom tov. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer Mishum Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says in the name of Rabbi Meir, Olin la b'yom tov, you can go into a sukkah like this on Yom Tov. My love, hakami flagi. So aren't they arguing on this? The Mar Sabar Tzadim Asurim, Mar Sabar Mutarim. The Tanakhama holds that Tzadim are forbidden. And the other Rameir who says that you can. So he says that Tzadim are permitted. Is not that this Machlokes? But the sukkah that's leading on a tree. So Amar Baye lo, Baye says no, not necessarily. Chuli Alma Tzadim Asurim. Everyone holds that Tzadim are forbidden. V'hacha. So the question is, can you use the sides of the sides? That's the question. So Mar Savar Sidate Stadim Asur. That's the debate, whether it's Sidate Stadim are forbidden or not. And Rava Amar, Rava says, Manda Asa Vit Stadim Asa Na Vit Sidate Stadim. Mar Shari Vit Sidate Stadim Shari Na Vit Stadim. Rava disagrees on Abaye. Abaye says that everyone agrees that Stadim are Asur, and the debate is about Sidate Stadim. And Rava says that no, that there's no difference between either one, right? Like Stadim, where you can use the sides of the tree. Stadim is like, let's say, where you take a peg and you attach a peg to the tree, and then you use something with that peg. So Rava holds there's no difference in Stadim. And Abaye says, when you hold on one, you hold the other. And Abaye says, no, Stadim are Asur. And the debate is about Tzidate Stadim. Okay?